Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining me today. Well, today we're going to start a new study, and the study will be entitled The Life and Letters of the Apostle Paul. The Life and Letters of the Apostle Paul. And to get this series started, I want to read to you from an Old Testament minor prophet, and his name is Haggai. It's the book of Haggai, in the first chapter in the 13th verse. We read these words, "Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people." Now, I want you to notice how God binds together his messenger with his message. And I would say that this is going to be kind of a theme of our study over the next number of broadcasts, is we're going to be talking about the Lord's messenger. In this case, it's the Apostle Paul, and the Lord's message. And in this case, it'll be referring to the letters of the Apostle Paul. And I think this is going to be very important. I believe that all the problems we run into doctrinally and all the divisions we have in the church today is because we're not recognizing the Lord's messenger or the Lord's message. The Apostle Paul even stated in his own day that all they which be in Asia have turned away from me. And that's found in his second letter to Timothy. And that just didn't mean from him personally. It also meant his message that he taught. God has given to the Apostle Paul a message that needs to be understood and taught today. And in Paul's own day, this message was forsaken. People forsook Paul. They forsook him personally. And when you forsook Paul personally, it also meant that you forsook the message that he taught. And so we're going to get into this, the Lord's messenger, Paul, and the Lord's message, which are the letters of Paul addressed to us Gentiles. And in our Bibles, that'll be Romans through Philemon. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is, what did Paul say about himself? What did Paul say about himself? And to find it out, we'll turn, first of all, to his letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul says this regarding himself in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" So Paul says, "I'm just a minister." Who am I? No, I'm just a minister. And in the same letter to Corinthians, if you turn to the first chapter, the 13th verse, Paul says this, "Was Paul crucified for you?" And obviously the answer is no. We are not saying that Paul is a savior. There is only one savior, and that savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ who was crucified for us. It is he who died for our sins. It is he who suffered that cruel and criminal death on Calvary's cross for our sins. And so we're thankful to God that there is only one Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. But here Paul is set before us by God in the Scriptures as a messenger with a message. He's a minister, and he wasn't crucified for us, but he is a chosen vessel by God to bring a message to the world today, and especially to the members of the body of Christ. Now, Paul, again, is only an earthen vessel. If you and I were walking through a desert, and we were thirsty, and all of a sudden we saw on the horizon some kind of ugly-looking vessel, a pot of some kind, and we wouldn't care how nice it was or how pretty it was. All we would be concerned with is what was in that vessel. And being in the desert, we'd hope there'd be water in it. And if we came to this vessel and we were really thirsty, we wouldn't care what the vessel looked like. We would just drink that water and take the refreshment. And because that's what we're looking for, is the refreshment. Paul is just a vessel. And we're thankful for the contents of that vessel. And we're going to see that Paul, God's chosen vessel, had such great contents in it, as we're going to find in his letters, as he teaches us in Romans through Philemon. Now, one thing I want to ask you as you're listening to me is, I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine the Bible without the letters of Paul. And let's say the New Testament. Imagine for a minute the New Testament without Paul's letters. Imagine reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then skipping over Acts through Philemon, and then picking up again in Hebrews through the book of Revelation. What are some things that would be missing? Well, one thing that would be missing is you would not read anywhere regarding justification by faith. Now, did you hear what I just said? You would not read anywhere about justification by faith. You would not read anywhere in Matthew through John or Hebrews through Revelation concerning the mystery of the resurrection of the body of Christ, which Paul called a mystery. So the blessed hope would be eliminated. And so what does this tell us is that the vessel is important because of the treasure that's in it. And in Romans through Philemon, we have these great treasures that have been taught to us through these letters of Paul. And like I said, we have no justification, no, as we call it today, no rapture, none of these distinctively Christian truths outside of Paul's letters. If you were to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of a sudden read Paul without reading the book of Acts, you would find, here's a Paul, number one, where did he come from? And two, why is he addressing Gentiles? Because in the four Gospels, the Lord Jesus said, I am not sent except unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he chose 12 apostles on earth, and those 12 apostles were for the 12 tribes of Israel. And later on in the book of Acts, in the 9th chapter, God converts this man, Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the apostle Paul, with this great message. We're gonna come back to that a little later on, but just something for you to think about. Now, Paul is a vessel, and to find that, we'll turn first to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says this, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And the context of this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is Paul is talking about his gospel that he taught. Paul says in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, he says, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So Paul says this great message, the gospel of the glory of Christ, is a treasure, but the vessel in which this treasure is being held is an earthen vessel. God planted in this man, Paul, an earthen vessel, a glorious message to dispense to us. In Acts chapter 9, we can turn there. We're going to see a similar passage in Acts chapter 9. And you can hear me. I'm turning my pages, and I hope you all will go back and study these passages on your own. But here we have this. This is the Lord Jesus who appeared unto Ananias, and he says this, but the Lord said unto him, speaking to Ananias, go thy way, for he, speaking of Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so we are so thankful that God has poured into this vessel treasures that Paul, in turn, has poured out to us. And remember what we said, God doesn't need a beautiful vessel. Paul even said that he wasn't a great speaker, and even his physical appearance was contemptible. But it was the contents within the vessel itself that were all important. Now, I want to close with one thought here, that Paul calls himself a pattern. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you turn there, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm turning there with you, Paul says this, 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, and in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And in one other passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says this in verse 13. Paul says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Now, here we have, we quoted 1 Timothy, Paul says he's a pattern, and here in 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words." And I'm reading from the King James Version, and what you need to know is in the Greek, the term pattern and the term form are the same words in the original. And so we can say in either place, we can either say form or pattern. So Paul says he's a pattern of salvation in 1 Timothy, and in 2 Timothy, his message is a pattern too. Not only is he personally a pattern in salvation and sanctification, but he's also a pattern, his message is a pattern we need to follow. And what is a pattern? In the Greek language, this word pattern means to pour molten metal into a mold. To make some kind of mold. And we'll pick up on that theme next time. But look at those passages. Remember, Paul tells us that he himself personally is a pattern, and his words that he spoke are a pattern. And we'll come back to that thought next time.